This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I want to say as we get started this morning, I am very thankful. I'm thankful that a little over 15 years ago, the Lord brought Pastor Allen and Joy into my life and brought me and my family here to the Ark. That is, without a doubt, one of the best decisions that we ever made, right, hon? I'm also honored to be standing here today and have the opportunity to share with you. You know, it's amazing to me the power that one word can have. I had the reality of this truth stand out to me a few weeks ago. A group of community leaders that were taking a class from across our county had gotten together, but separately we had taken an online leadership assessment. And now we were back together and we had a guest instructor who was debriefing and explaining our results. In describing our results, the instructor used very encouraging language, highly positive statements like, "You guys set the bar here. You did exceptionally great. I have never seen results like this before." These were extremely affirming, completely building us up. We were all eating it up, feeling really good about ourselves and quite proud of what we had achieved. That was until he said one word, "But." After lavishing us with affirming accolades, he then completely burst our bubble with "but." "But I'd be concerned about this. But you really need to watch this area. But here's something that you really need to work on." Every time that he would point out a great result of ours and start bragging on us, he would invariably inject the word "but." There was always a "but." After a while on the training day, it kind of came somewhat of a joke to me, because every time he would say something positive, I found myself going, okay, where's the "but"? "But" is a powerful word, arguably one of the most powerful words in the English language. Have you ever thought about the power of the word "but"? I mean, we've all been there. Conversation is progressing along very nicely, then someone throws in a "but" and totally derails or detours the whole conversation. "But" is powerful. It can be a game changer, because the first part of the sentence hinges on everything after the "but." For example, "You've done an outstanding job here for these past 20 years for this company, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go." "But" can also say that it's not over. There's more to the story. It's not resolved. On a lighthearted approach, normally these go for $19.99, but wait, there's more. Two more serious. "I got a bad report from the doctor, but I'm still full of hope." And finally, "but" is powerful because it can be positive. For example, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but I am determined to see this through, push through, and do this. Or it can be negative. "Yeah, we've been married for 15 years, but I'm done. I just don't want to work at it anymore." "But" is a word that often rolls off of our tongue, unchecked, misused, or sometimes missing altogether. "But" is a word that I believe we should pay closer attention to, because it has incredible potential in our lives. Now, as you can imagine, I had a lot of fun coming up with the possible titles for this talk this morning. Possible titles including "Watch Your Butt," "Where's Your Butt?" "Get Your Butt Right." I settled on "Your Butt Matters." Because I can tell we're going to have fun. Because the truth is, it really does. Your butt matters. In Scripture, Jesus tells us very clearly, in this life, you will have trials and you're going to have challenges. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "I told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." God never promised us a trouble-free life, but he did give us his promise. His promise found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, "I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." So based on these two verses, we will have stuff to deal with. God will never leave us. As we go through life, how we handle its challenges is critical. our but matters. Therefore, I believe that we should connect these two truths with one powerful but. We will have stuff to deal with in life, but God will never leave us or forsake us. One of the privileges that I have here on staff is getting to pray with people when they come forward for prayer on Sunday mornings. One thing that stands out to me during these times is the huge difference in how people share their prayer request, because it points to how they're facing and dealing with the issue in life that they're battling. With comparatively similar requests, some have a profound faith bent. They have a faith stance about them. You can see this in their countenance. You can hear it in their words. While others are overcome, simply overwhelmed by the sheer weight of what they're facing and dealing with. Now, I realize that sometimes it's all you can do to get up here and ask for prayer, and that act itself is a step of faith. So please, by all means, come up here and let us pray with you. My point here, my question for all of us is this. When facing the challenges of life, are we talking fear or are we talking faith? Are we talking about the problem or are we talking to and about the problem solver? When dealing with the stuff of life, we need to be more impressed with God than we are with the problem. We need to have the right but in our conversation. And the best but that we can have is a but God. Any of our staff can walk into my office and tell me that we have a problem. It's not rocket science to play Captain Obvious and tell me that we have a traffic flow issue on a Sunday morning. However, we challenge our staff to bring some faith to the table when facing challenges. In fact, it's a clear expectation that we hold ourselves to trust God, be spirit-led, and talk faith-filled solutions. This is important to our staff culture because that stance changes the entire conversation. For example, we have a serious traffic flow issue that is going to require significant attention, but I know God, and I know He will help us, give us wisdom and creative ideas in how to address it. You see, but God changes the entire conversation, and it raises our faith. Now, does it mean that we ignore the problem or the challenge and stick our heads in the sand? Absolutely not. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Fully aware of what we're facing, in faith, in confidence in God, with a but God attitude, we lean into the challenge with our words becoming the precursor to our actions. This morning, I want us to look at a powerful but, a but that literally changed history and is tied to our being here today. It was spoken by one of my favorite characters in the Bible, Peter. A man known for at times not getting his words exactly right. Yet in this instance, he absolutely nailed it. We pick up our story in Luke chapter 5. It says, "Now it happened that while Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee with the people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, that he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little distance from the shore. And he sat down and he began teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish.' Simon replied, 'Master, we've worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing in our nets. But at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again.' When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats with fish so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' But he and his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon, 'Have no fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' After they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting and following his example." I love this story. Jesus had just commandeered Peter's boat to be used as a floating platform as he taught the massive crowds that were flocking along the shoreline. After he had finished speaking, he said to Peter to put his boat out a little bit further into the lake and to drop his nets again to catch some fish. Now, Peter's response at this moment was absolutely critical. Look at what he says in verse 5. "Master, we've worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing in our nets. But," there's that word, "at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again." Notice Peter acknowledged the facts here. They'd fished all night, they'd caught nada, and now they were dead dog tired. Yet in mid-sentence, he injects that powerful word, but, and his but changed everything. He took Jesus at his word. He cast the nets out again, even though it made no sense to him at all. And the result, they caught a plethora of fish. Peter's but was powerful, and far more important than fish, it impacted three things. It impacted Peter, those around him, and history itself. Peter's but changed his life. He must have heard something in Jesus' teaching that day that touched his heart and made him want to know more. However, after this fishing miracle, his eyes become fully opened as to who Jesus is. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now he has an even greater respect, a greater honor for who Jesus is, and he wants to follow him. It's worth noting here that Peter acted on the faith that he had at the time, and it changed his life. It also changed those around him, specifically James and John. Peter brings his fishing buddies in on the haul, and they too are enlightened as to who Jesus is. And Jesus calls all of them to join him, to hang up their nets and to fish for men. And the three of them do it. They drop it all right then and there, and they follow Jesus. Peter's but resulted in others following Jesus. It also changed history. History is made that day by Peter's but. These men become the first disciples of Jesus, disciples that Jesus used to literally change the world. In fact, later on, Jesus referred to Peter as the rock on which I will build my church. Peter's response that day created a lineage that can be traced from that day by the Sea of Galilee all the way up to us here today. Peter's but mattered. Peter's life, those around him, and history itself hung on that one word, but. What would have happened, though, if Peter's but was missing or misplaced? What if he had responded, "Lord, it's been a long night. I'm tired. And really, the Astros are getting ready to play, and I just want to chill and hang out this afternoon." What if he had said, "Lord, great message earlier. Really, really top shelf stuff, but leave the fishing to us." Thankfully, Peter, when challenged by Jesus, when challenged to step out in faith, when challenged to cast his nets out again after a full night of fishing and catching nothing, he simply and profoundly responded, "But because you say so, I will." Peter's but mattered, and he got it right. Well, what about us? What about our buts? Are we getting them right? Unlike Peter, when we face problems and challenges, here are some of the common responses that I often see. Quite frankly, I've used a few of these myself. We go into Superman mode, where we try to fix the problem ourselves. Or we'll yak it up, or we'll talk the problem. We'll stick our head in the sand. We'll deny or ignore the problem, thinking that just maybe it'll go away. Or we go into cover-up mode, where we mask the problem with something that may temporarily make us feel better. Or we'll become a worrywart, where we worry about the problem night and day. Or finally, we'll just throw our hands up. We'll give up and we'll give in to the problem. See if you recognize any of these buts. "I know, but I got this. But you don't understand. But I'm not good enough. But it's not fair. But that will be hard. Yes, they ask for forgiveness, but I'm still offended. But I can never be forgiven. But that's just the way that it is. But they will never change. But I don't want to change. But the doctor said. But. Here's the key truth. If you hear nothing else this morning, please hear this. A well-placed but in our life helps us to get our faith off of the shelf and into action in our lives. So how do we get our butts right in our lives? Number one, we need to get a word from the Lord, specifically His word, Scripture. Opinions, feelings, and emotions are not good foundations for dealing with the stuff of life. We need to ask ourselves, what does God's word say about what I'm facing? We don't need to have all of the answers. We just need to trust and look to the one who does. As Pastor Allen put it like this, he said, "We may not know how, but we know God." His word is life, His word is powerful, and His word is applicable in our everyday lives. This past year, our son Josh became a police officer here in Conroe. When he was going through the field training phase of his training, he had an encounter while out on duty that really rocked his world. While responding to a late night call involving an outdoor party of a few hundred people, Josh heard gunshots and he later found shell casings right where he had been standing just a few minutes earlier. Although no one was hurt in this instance, it really rattled him. It caused him to question his calling and to think about giving up. The impact of this event weighed on him heavily, and we saw it all over him. Overcome by fear, he had allowed his emotions and his feelings to lead him, and now he was headed down a deep and dark spiral. As concerned parents, Ellen and I, we got together with him and tried to help him work through this. We listened to him, we talked to him, but most importantly, we challenged his butt. Yes, danger is a very real issue in police work. Yes, police risk their lives every day for us. And can I pause just right here and say, for that reason alone, police officers deserve our respect. They're certainly not perfect, but the men and women who put their life on the line for me every day that they go to work deserve my honor and respect, and they have it, period. I'll get off my soapbox now. But Ellen and I, we got together with Josh and we challenged his butt. We said, "Did the Lord call you into this? Did you hear from the Lord to do this job? Then, son, there's quite frankly no safer place on this earth for you to be." We challenged him to combat his feelings and his emotions with God's word. As Joy Clayton put it, "Don't go with the flow, change the flow." The scripture Josh got a hold of and began to lean on was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." As Josh got a word from the Lord, it changed his butt, and the flow in his life began to change. We need to get a word from the Lord, and then we need to speak the word. When challenges come in life, and they will, what we say matters. Joy said it this way, "What you say after you pray matters." Challenges in life are not something that we run from or act like they don't exist. As we said earlier, the facts are our friends, not something that we stick our head in the sand and try to ignore. The facts can produce fear, but we confront the fear and we face the facts head on in faith. Ellen and I helped Josh to address the facts. Fact, there's bad people out there doing bad things. Fact, police work is dangerous. Fact, you deal with some crazy stuff every day. But these facts are not the final say. We encourage Josh to pray and to repeat the word of God consistently. Whenever he felt fear, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "I trust you, Lord." When he was challenged, "I trust you, Lord." When he didn't know what to do, "I trust you, Lord." All throughout his shift, "I trust you, Lord." As he did, his but God got stronger, and so did he. He got a word, he spoke the word, and because of that, he was able to stand on the word. We get our butts right in life when we stand on the word of God. Sometimes the most powerful thing that we can do in our Christian faith walk is to stand. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, "Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. Faith is not the absence of problems or fear. It's how we overcome problems and fear. Scripture says, when you face problems, when you face fear, and we will, how we stand, how we apply our faith is everything. Today, Josh loves his job. Over this past year, he's definitely seen some stuff. He's had some amazing opportunities to stand and to keep on standing on the Word of God. And the reality is he will still have plenty of opportunity to inject the right but into his life. And so will we. You see, life can be tough. We're not promised a trouble-free life, but we are promised so much from God's Word. We're promised healing, wisdom, joy, strength, peace, provision, just to name a few. I love how Joy put it. She said, we need to strengthen our grip on the promise. We need to bring some faith to the fight. Having a but God helps us to do just that. For a few years now, I have had the opportunity and the honor of being a chaplain for the Conroe Police Department, serving our men and women in blue by being there for them to talk to, going for ride-alongs with them while they're on duty, and just serving them in any way that I can. A few months ago, in a routine traffic stop, at around 4 a.m., one of our police officers was shot at point-blank range. We're talking a matter of feet. What happened next was an absolute miracle of God. Our officers are trained that when approaching a vehicle, they keep their strong arm free on their weapon. That morning, as our officer came up behind that car, he was doing just as he was taught. He had his flashlight in his left hand, his right arm was free as he walked up beside the car. But just as the officer was later downloading, for some reason, as he approached the driver's window, he switched that flashlight to his right hand. And in that moment, in that instance, without warning, that driver shot at our police officer, that bullet miraculously hitting the flashlight, which was about the size of a silver dollar. Had that flashlight been in his other hand, he would have been completely exposed to that driver and that shot. As it happened, the bullet struck the flashlight, and the flashlight struck his bulletproof vest with such severe force that that police officer actually thought that he had been shot. He managed to return fire on that driver as he drove away, and then he drove himself to the hospital. Thankfully, our officer escaped completely unharmed, physically. But as he and I processed this later, there was some real stuff that he had to deal with, real battles to fight and to overcome. I encouraged him along the lines of what we're talking about here today, that his but matters. To get a word, speak the word, stand on the word. We discuss God's word that says what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn around for good. Naturally, our officer had a lot of buts. But what if? But I could have died. But my wife could have been left without a husband. My 2-year-old could have been left without his father. But how do I get past this? So he and I talked about injecting a but God to bring his faith off of the shelf and into action in his life. I encouraged him to actively change the conversation. Yeah, pure evil came at me, but God was faithful and he saved my life. The enemy threw his worst at me, but God did a miracle. Tragedy almost struck my family, but God did something that will mark my family forever. Generations will be telling what God did. I told him, one day you're going to have a conversation like this. Son, back in 2018, Dad was shot at extremely close range. But God intervened, and that's why I'm here today at your high school graduation. And yeah. And that's why, son, we've enjoyed all these years as a family, because God did a miracle. You see, a but God changes the entire conversation. And now for the rest of the story. In a few short days, law enforcement agencies from across our area tightened the circle around this shooter until finally he had no place else to run and hide, and he turned himself in. I was doing a ride-along that night, and while riding shotgun, ended up escorting this dangerous man to jail and safely off of our streets. In John 10:10, Jesus says this. He says, "The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life to the full." Let me ask you today, what are you facing today? What is the enemy trying to kill, steal, or destroy? Know that God wants you to experience life to the full. So, where do you need to insert a but God? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, the best but God that you can make is the decision to invite him into your life, to enter into a life-giving, a life-changing relationship with him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. You've never said yes to him. Or perhaps you've said yes in the past and for whatever reason you've gotten away from him. Today you can renew that relationship. If you've never said yes to Christ or you need to come back to him, we're going to say a prayer in a minute. We're not going to call you out or embarrass you in any way. But if you're here today and you're saying, "Man, I am dealing with some stuff, but I want to give God a chance. I want in on that prayer." And simply right now, raise your hand and say, "Philip, include me in that prayer." Yes. Yeah. See those hands. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to pray this prayer together. We'll all pray it out loud. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you." Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.